If you get your papers out, we'll get right into our lesson this morning. If you take your Bibles, and let's look at a few verses in 1 John chapter 1, and then we'll also go to James in chapter number 4. 1 John chapter number 1. First John chapter number 1 and in verse number 9. We've covered seven different areas in which the devil can get ground in our Christian lives. And I've encouraged you, as I have done, my family has done, my Sunday school class has done, encourage you to take each one of those, and I hope you have, pray over them. Let the Holy Spirit bring these things where we've given the devil ground and plead the blood of Christ. Ask God to remove them from our life and to reclaim the ground the devil had gotten. If you're like me, when I went through these things, it really is quite a humbling experience to realize just how much junk we let into our lives. And we don't even realize it necessarily at the time. But we do. And then, obviously, the end result is that we've been more sensitive to the things of God. But the whole point of everything is to be an encouragement to get victory. I want you to see a couple of things in 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9. It says this: if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I love that verse. It's a great verse. It's a promise in the Word of God here. There's little doubt when you read the book of 1 John that this epistle is written to believers, to Christians, to those who are born of God. And so he says these words, and this verse right here in context is not for salvation. This verse is written to believers. You know, we as believers, we still will sin, won't we? We'll still do things that we shouldn't have done. And we realize it. But here's a great verse and a great promise. Look at it again. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a great God. Our God will forgive us. The word there says if we confess. The word confess means to agree with, to profess openly. To confess means I agree that I was wrong, God. It isn't, some people say, you know, you can't get right with God unless you fall at His feet and for hours upon hours plead and maybe God might forgive you. That's not the God that we serve. The God that we serve is already forgiven. The God that we serve has already sent His Son to pay for every sin. The God that we serve is willing always to forgive. What we must do is come to a place in our life when we confess, when we say, God, You're right, I was wrong, and accept the forgiveness that God has already provided for us. And so our responsibility is to confess. And I hope that in these lessons and things that we've gone over, that we've come to a point where we have agreed with God on these things. We've looked at the Word of God. We have seen what God's Word says. And we agree that we have allowed the devil to get into our life in these different areas. And we want to get these things right. Turn back just a few pages to the book of James. James in chapter number 4. James chapter 4 and in verse number 6. James 4 and in verse number 6. Scripture says here, but He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. If we will not agree with God and we won't let God, you know, have these areas in our life and will not say, God, You're right, I was wrong, I allowed the devil into my life in these areas, then we are filled with pride. And God, the Bible says here, He resists the proud. But you know what? It takes humility to confess that we're wrong. If there's one thing that we hate doing is admitting we're wrong, confessing that we are wrong. All of us struggle with that. There's not one of us in the Sunday school time that does not struggle with admitting we're wrong. When it comes to sin, or when it comes to simple things like directions, or a recipe that we did wrong, or anything that we do wrong, sometimes it's hard for us to say, yes, I was wrong. We teach our children that, unfortunately, many times. We want to argue every time that a child gets in trouble. You know, well, it wasn't my kid. My kid would never do that. Well, your kids are like my kids. They're evil, all right? They get that from their parents who are evil. And we all need to understand that we will do wrong. And when we are wrong, we don't need to argue or rationalize. We just need to confess it. Yes, I was wrong. When we fill ourselves with pride, we're going to get a resistance from God. God is not going to bless. God cannot bless pride. And so we must come humbly. In the book of James in chapter number 5 and verse number 16. Turn over a page if you would. James 5:16 says this, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. Now, we're not asking each other, please, please, church, forgive me for this or that. That's not what this verse is talking about. It just means this. You know, sometimes we struggle in ever getting victory because we won't stand up and say, I was wrong. God was right. And I've allowed the devil to get victory in my life in these different areas. But I'm reclaiming it now. But I was wrong. It's hard to do that, isn't it? It's hard to confess. It's hard to confess to one another. It's easy to stand up and talk about, you know, how God blessed you here or there. We love testimonies like that. Very rarely do we have testimonies where people stand up and say, church, I just want you to know I did wrong here. And you don't have to even say what it is. But I've confessed some things to God. Pray for me. It's no wonder we have a lack of victory a lot of times in our Christian life because we're just not following what the Bible says we ought to do. The Bible doesn't expect, you know, Ken Napier to stand up and tell all the dirty things that he's done to a church. But if Ken Napier is struggling in an area, you ought to have the humility to stand and say, church, would you pray for me? I've confessed some things to God and I need prayer for victory. Now that sounds very odd, but that's what Scripture just said. And we don't have victory a lot of times because we're prideful. We don't want to do that. We don't want to have to do that. So number one, we must have confession if we're going to have victory. Number two, prayer. I know the two kind of go one and one. But we need to pray. In each of these lessons, I've given a sample prayer. But pray on your own. Pray. In just a moment, we're going to pray. In just a moment, we're all going to bow our heads. And I'm going to pray, but I'm going to ask you to pray. I'm going to ask you yourself. And I'm going to invite you, if you want to come to an altar or stay there at your seat, it doesn't matter. You can go to God wherever you're at. But would you pray? Some like to get on their face. Some will just bow their head in their seat. But pray. And pray and bring these things. I hope that if you've participated and you've done this, then I hope that you've brought those things today. Get out those lists. You don't have to read over them, but pray. Say, God, these things in my hand that your Holy Spirit has shown me, and I've pled the blood of Christ, and I've confessed them to you. God, I want victory in these things. God, where I have been prideful, give me humility. Where I have believed lies, let me follow the truth. Where I have been deceived and had counterfeits in my life, may I follow that which is truth and right. Where I've allowed the occult and these things into my life, even unawares, God, reclaim this ground for your glory. God, where I have these sins that maybe of my fathers that, Lord, affect me, I pray this line of cursing stops. God, where I've been in bondage, God, I've pled it. Now give me victory. You spend some time in prayer. And I'll lead in prayer and we'll pray together. But then the Bible talks, we're going to look at this number three, departure. Departure. Look at a few verses in Acts chapter number 19 real quick. Acts chapter number 19. Acts chapter 19 and in verse number 19. A lot of great things was happening here at Ephesus, but you see one thing that they did in Acts 19:19. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. They counted the price of them and found them 50,000 pieces of silver. My point in reading that verse is this. There are some things they just want to get rid of. They just want to get rid of it. They were done with it. And anything that maybe God, the Holy Spirit, has shown you in these last few weeks where you've allowed the devil in, if those things are in your home, get rid of them today. Go home. Take them to a garbage can and get rid of them. Depart from them. These things that you've written down, you're done with those things. Given it to God, they're done. Amen? They're done. Look in Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews 10 and verse number 17. Hebrews chapter number 10 and in verse number 17. There's some great verses. Just want to look at them real quick. Hebrews 10, 17. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Isn't that a wonderful verse? When we get things right with God, you know what God does with those things? They're departed. They're gone. God does not remember them anymore. God has said they are forgiven. They have been dealt with. Look back in Psalm chapter 51. Psalm chapter 51, while you're turning there, I'll make a pit stop in Ephesians and read you a verse. Please turn to Psalm chapter 51. Ephesians chapter number 1. Listen to this verse while you're turning there. Ephesians 1:7 says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." Will God forgive? Yes. I say, how much can He forgive? According to the riches of His grace. How much grace does God have? There is no limit to His grace. So will He ever not forgive? No, He'll always forgive when we confess, when we realize and agree with God. Here in Psalm chapter number 51 and in verse number 17. Psalm chapter 51, verse number 17. Says this, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart, O God, Thou will not despise." When we come to God and say, "God, I was wrong. God, I have done this." And we have a heart that desires to get right, a heart that realizes what we have done. God will not despise that. God will forgive. Turn over to Isaiah. We'll stop at Isaiah chapter 1 first. Isaiah chapter 1. And in verse number 8, Isaiah chapter 1, and I think I wrote the wrong verse. Well, we're going to skip that verse then. 18, yes, thank you. Isaiah 1, verse number 18. Isaiah 1, 18. "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." That's the great part about God. When we ask God to forgive, when we confess these things, no matter how dark and dirty the stain is, God wipes it clean. No matter how you say, "Well, you don't understand just what I went through." Well, God does, and God said this, no matter how dark a stain it is put on your life, He will cleanse it and remove it. That's a great God. Over in Isaiah, in chapter, one more verse, Isaiah 43. Isaiah chapter number 43. Isaiah 43, verse number 25. Isaiah 43 and in verse number 25. It says, "I, even I, am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake. I will not remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance, let us plead together, declare thou that thou mayest be justified." God forgives. He blots out our transgression. And you know why He does it? For His own sake. Not because we deserve it, but He does it because He loves us. And He wants that fellowship with us. So, these things, they're gone. And I want you to understand this. You have to take the Word of God and you have to apply it here. When God says it's gone, then it's gone. When God says, "Hey, it is forgiven," it is forgiven. When God says you have been cleansed, then you have been cleansed. When God says that stain has been removed and it's white and pure again, then my friend, the stain has been removed. You say, "Well, why do I think about that stain?" Well, who do you think wants you to dwell on that? There's only one person that wants you to live in defeat and live with that feeling dirty and stained all of your life. And that's not God. Because God said, I have forgiven, I have cleansed, I have made you pure again. That's our God. So there's confession, prayer, and then we understand whatever we need to get rid of, we'll get rid of because God will forgive. And it's taken care of. I'm going to have a word of prayer. And we're going to come back to the lesson. I'm going to have a word of prayer. And while I pray, I encourage you there, your seat, if you want to come forward, whatever you want to do, we also pray. I encourage you now, if you have those things that the Holy Spirit has shown and you haven't written down, to get them out. Hold them in your hand. Say, God, these things you've shown me, I've dealt with them. God, thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your cleansing. Thank you for your victory. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, I come to you this morning praising you for who you are. God, I love you. Thank you for these lessons and the difference it's made and already a lot of lives. God, these different areas, we have promised in your word we are not ignorant of the devil's devices. God, now we come to you and we recognize, and Lord, there have been areas in our life that sometimes in ignorance, sometimes in willfulness, we've given devil ground in our life. God, I pray that, Lord, as we have searched our hearts to see these different areas of deception, Lord, of which we've allowed the devil to deceive us. He's the father of lies. We have deceived ourselves. God, I ask you to rebuke all the deceiving spirits, Lord, by your shed blood, where we have believed lies. God, that we would claim in faith the victory and cling to the fact that you are truth. God, I pray that, Lord, you'd help us to be sensitive to deception, sensitive to lies. God, to where your Spirit has brought truth in our life, I pray that, Lord, we claim victory. Lord, we talked about this area of counterfeit. Lord, you have things that are real. God, your faith is real. God, this word is real. Father, the promises of God are real. God, there's a lot of counterfeit out there the devil has sent our way. A lot of things that even have a resemblance of religion, a resemblance of truth, but God, we recognize them as being what they are. Father, we confess that we've participated in some of these things. Lord, we even ignorantly allowed the devil to get place in our life and in areas of the occult and false teachers. And Father, we give him place to the devil. I plead the blood this morning. God, I ask that our church would recognize these things. We've confessed them. I give victory and make us sensitive towards them in days ahead. Father, in this area of bitterness, how the devil keeps so many of your children in bondage here. Help us to have your spirit of forgiveness. God, any place and person who we have become bitter at, I pray you forgive us. God, where we have not forgiven others, give us grace. God, where other people have hurt us, and Lord, for weeks, months, or even years, we've held on to an anger and a bitterness. The devil's gotten ground in our life, but Lord, we've recognized that in these studies, and we've confessed it. God, you have removed it. God, now we rebuke these evil spirits that bring these thoughts and wickedness and bitterness into our life. And I pray a hedge of protection around us. God, we would continue to have victory. And Lord, it is for your glory and for your honor. And I pray that you get the glory in our life. this area of rebellion, the devil was the very first rebel. Lord, he chooses and wants and desires for all to rebel against their Creator. God, the devil wants us as believers to live in rebellion. Lord, you have set up authorities in our life, and we thank you for those authorities. We need those. There's protection in those. Lord, in our home place, may we yield to the authorities we have. In our workplace, at church, God, with our nation and our government, may we yield under the authorities that you have placed us under. And God, may we enjoy the hedge of protection. God, where we have lifted up and our rebellion has been as a sin of witchcraft, it's evil. Lord, where those deceiving spirits, Lord, want us to lie and to rebel and to lift ourselves up and against authority, God, we have confessed it. God, you have removed it. Now, God, keep a hedge about us. Lord, in this area of pride, Lord, how we're all guilty, give us humility. Give us grace. God, may we not live under the lust of our flesh, and the lust of our eyes, and the pride of life. May we just seek you first and live a crucified life. Thank you for showing us in areas in which we have, Lord, dictated our life according to our own desires. God, we've thought of ourselves higher than others. God, no doubt, the very first one that ever lifted himself up in pride was Satan himself. Lord, he and his spirits desire that for all of us, to lift ourselves up above what we should. God, give us humility. God, in this area of bondage, we have searched our hearts. Different sins that we have seemingly tried to ask you to remove over and over and over and over again. God, these things that get a hold of us, our flesh becomes addicted to these things. God, God, give us grace in the days ahead. We have confessed these things. God, we ask you, Lord, to please rebuke these spirits that want us and tempt us and want to keep us in bondage. God, we claim the victory that you have promised. We pray for a hedge about us. May we live a moral life, a holy life. We plead the blood, the victory that's promised there. Lord, in this area of, Lord, sins of our fathers, things that can be passed down, God, I believe with all my heart, your word teaches us, and it is real if we don't deal with it. God, I thank you for your Holy Spirit that has shown us. God, may these different areas that we have dealt with and gotten right, God, would you please keep a hedge about us? God, may we start a line of blessing for our homes and our families. Father, I love you. Lord, I thank you for your promises in Scripture. Now, God, I pray you give us humility. May we depart from these things today. God, I love you. In your name I pray. Amen. I'm going to go over in just a second how to maintain victory. But I'm going to have a seat. And right here is a nice garbage can that will be taken out by Brother Slee after the session, put away and destroyed. And I just want to encourage you while I have a seat, get my final thoughts together. And in these areas that the Holy Spirit is showing you that you're done with those now, and God dealt with those, come and get rid of them. There's a place to put them now. And about 5 minutes, and then we'll close our lesson. Have our defense. I want you to see this real quick because this is vital. Vital, vital. First of all, the devil's still going to come back. You can count on that. See, how about these areas that I've dealt with? He's going to try to hit you with them. Matter of fact, he'll probably come back a little bit harder. But you have victory. You claim it. And I'm not just throwing something useless at you. I'm trying to give you what God has given to me, what I've seen a great change in my life. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, I ask you to memorize that. I've repeated it and ask you to do that throughout these lessons because it is the key to maintaining victory. It don't have to be that verse, but this is a great verse for it. The Bible says in those verses, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. You know, that what that verse is saying here is this, that God has delivered us from the power of darkness. That ought to be something we all can rejoice in. If you are a believer, God has delivered us from the power of darkness. If you are a believer, God has translated you into the kingdom of His dear Son. What that means is this, you are not under the power of Satan. You are not of and under the leadership of the devil and his wicked spirits. So what you have to do is say, well, will the devil come back? Absolutely. So what do? I give you a sample. This is just what Travis Burke does. Do whatever you want to do. But when the devil comes to me and wants me to think this wrong way or to do this thing or whatever the case may be, I say something to this fact. God does not want me to think this way. I do not want to think this way. And so I choose not to think this way. And I thank you, God, for my deliverance. I am not under the power of darkness. And I know that because the Bible says who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Now, I know what the devil wants me to think right now, but I'm not under his control. God has delivered me. And I yield myself to His victory, and I choose to have victory over this. Now, I promise you, you resist the devil, James 4:7. He'll flee from you. Will he come back? Oh, yeah. But what happens when he repeatedly comes back, and every time all he finds is a believer that sits there and quotes this verse and says, God, I yield to you. Thank you for your deliverance, God. I thank you that what you've made me, and I am in the kingdom of your dear Son, and I am delivered from the power of darkness. You know what the devil does? He realizes this real quick because he's pretty sharp. Well, I'm going to quit doing this because all I'm doing is pushing him closer to the Lord. And that's what it means. Resist the devil. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. God, I submit to your victory. Your word says I have it. Thank you for deliverance. The devil will realize real quick that it's not working. And he flees from you. Now, life will go good. And in a couple weeks, the devil will come back just to see if you're still what you said you'd be. And if he finds you the same way, then he'll wait. A couple months, he'll come back to make sure you're still what you say you'd be. That's why I bring this. You got to make, there's some maintenance here. You can't just say, well, I'm going to do that this week and then everything be peachy. It better be something that's changing your life. And the maintenance is this. It's going to take commitment. And then we've already taught on this. I've already preached on it. And I've prepared for this lesson weeks ahead. That's why it's important, just as Daniel in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10, that you take the time 3 times a day to thank God. To thank God throughout the day for something that you see that God has done for you. Be thankful. You can do it right now. Looking around this auditorium, something you see with your eyeballs that you can thank God for. You know how easy that is? Someone go ahead and do it. Look around you, Brother Moses. Look around you. Think. What's something you can see with your eyeballs that God's been good to you? Amen. Church. Church family. Bible. Got some lights on. Pews. Nice pews. What's that? Chairs to sit on. All of you dressed pretty nice. Air conditioning blowing on your face. when you stop and open your eyes and see all the things you can see with your eyeballs that God's been good to you, what's going to happen is this: your spirit will change, just as it did with Daniel. What did it say about Daniel in chapter 6, verse 10? What kind of spirit did he have? Excellent spirit. You know why he had an excellent spirit? Because he lived every day looking around, boy, God is good to me. And he praised God 3 times a day. And he thanked him. I encourage you, too, to do the same thing about, and I encourage you to also, and write them down. I know that sounds weird. Write them down. Say, why? Because every once in a while, you're going to start feeling like, because the devil's going to say, well, God's not been good to you. And it's nice to be able to pull out a list and say, oh, yeah, he has. And if you ever start feeling down, just get the list out and start reading over it. Your spirit will change. Say, do you write it down? Absolutely. I normally never bring my phone in, but I write mine down on a note section on my phone. And this morning, I didn't plan to bring this down. The only reason I have my phone in my hand is because we were running so late getting David, I wasn't able to take it to my, but I just thought of this. And this is what I wrote down this morning. And I had no plans to say this morning, but I'm just going to read what it said. I'll go through. Just in the last, yesterday and today. I'm thankful that God's patient with me. I was very thankful for the Door family, the missionaries that were here with us. I was thankful for a desk to work on. I was thankful yesterday morning. Grace was kind of sick Friday night. I was thankful that she felt fine Saturday morning. I was thankful for my shed out in the back last night when I mowed my grass. I have a shed to put everything into. And this morning I was thankful for my great in-laws. And then I also write down things I'm thankful for about my spouse. And just in the last day, 2 days, I've written down, I'm thankful she's my friend. I'm thankful the children love her so much. I'm thankful that she'll laugh at me. I'm thankful that she has a big teethy smile when she's happy. I'm thankful that she teaches our kids. And I'm thankful that she hurts when I hurt. What it does makes you realize how blessed you are. And it changes your spirit. And so you write them down. The Bible says in Proverbs 23 and verse number 7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you're all the time thinking about how good God is to you, you know what you're going to be? A blessed person. Because that's what you think. If you're not thinking about how great God is, you know what you're going to be? A miserable person. But God's been good to us. This will change your heart and attitude about God, your loved ones, and your victory. So what if I... Some of you are like, what do I do if I'm not married? That's why I wrote it down. Write some things down about your mate or your parents. That would be awesome for some of you young people to do every day. Write down 3 times a day, morning, noon, and night, another reason why God's been good to you with your parents. Something else they do for you. Or you say, well, I'm not in either one of those positions. Write down some things about your enemy. So what do you mean by enemy? How he's defeated. How he's a liar. A deceiver. How he's condemned. You start writing those things down and claiming victory over him. The result is this: you'll have a clean vessel. Ground to be reclaimed in your life. You'll be in love with the Lord and the people around you like never before. And you will be sensitive towards sin and the destructive power of it. Why we did these lessons. That's what the goal was in doing these lessons. On the back is just something for you to look at. I'll just say this real quick about the back and then you can read everything. Man is trichotomy, just as God, the Trinity. Man has his flesh and his soul and his spirit. Our body, our flesh, it will die one day. You understand, it will die. And there's really nothing. Someday God will give us a new body when he raises this one up. It will be transformed, all right? But our flesh is where we are, see, touch, smell, hear, taste. But it is our soul. Our soul is is what the Bible refers to when you read in the Bible about your heart. That's your soul. Your heart is what does your thinking. If you want verses for that, at the very top, right, it says the brain is just part of the body, it does no thinking. Because your heart is what does the thinking. Read those verses right that are listed right there. It's your heart that does the thinking. Your heart is your self-consciousness. That's what God saves. Your soul. Your soul is made up of your intellect, your will, and your emotions. Then you have there the center of that dark circle there, that's your spirit. Your spirit before you're saved is dead. Your spirit before you're saved, Satan directs your life. You are your father, the devil. But when you get saved, you are born again. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. And your spirit becomes alive. And amen for that. Where you were dead spiritually, now you're alive unto God. Now, this is the three parts of you. If you're lost, and someone made this preacher, honestly, that sat down with me with these things, made this statement, which took me by, I was like, whoa. But the more I thought about it, I think he's right. Everyone that's lost is possessed by the devil. If they're lost, you're of your father, the devil. And there your spirit is dead. And you're under the direction of your father, the devil. But we're saved, and praise the Lord for that. When we got saved, the Holy Spirit indwells us. Amen. The Lord Jesus takes residence in us. Got scripture for that. So our spirit has been made alive. Now you see these three different areas, and I'll say this and I'll pray and be done. How the devil works is this. He'll start with oppression. He'll try to attack the flesh. He'll attack, you see the five senses? He'll attack the way you see things, and just your life and make you miserable. And the devil can do that. We all the time talk about, this person is oppressed. I'm thankful today that a believer cannot be possessed by the devil. You know why? Because two can't walk together unless they be agreed. When the Holy Spirit comes in and dwells you, He's there forever. Therefore, the devil cannot possess the same vessel the Holy Spirit does. Amen for that. So you cannot be possessed, but you can be oppressed, where the devil begins to attack you on the outside. But then you can be obsessed. What happens then? The devil gets place in our life so much that it begins to affect the way that we think, our emotions, and our will. That's why you have a lot of Christians, and some is health. But the majority of Christians who are living a depressed life, can't think straight, emotions out of control, is because they are obsessed. They've given so much ground to the devil that they lose track of what is right. And they live a miserable life. If you went through these things and you did these, it's nice to know the devil has no place in your life. But be alert. He can. If we give place to the devil, he cannot take it from us. But he'll take what you give him every time. Let's live in victory.